When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's Thursday, if you're hearing this, the day it comes out, which means it is time for our weekly listener mail segment. What's going on with Facebook ads? How much do you know about your grandparents? What are some of the most exclusive slash dangerous museums you have ever visited? We'll have three of our fellow conspiracy realists giving you their own takes on each of those questions. And what better way to start than to go, you know, back into a little bit of ancestry? I think we all have in our lives a relative, maybe an immediate family member, maybe someone a little more distant, who has a sketchy past or has gaps that aren't explained. You know,
Ben, that's not everybody, dude. I'm telling you.
I feel like, okay.
Are you saying some people are every bit as wholesome as they seem, Matt? Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps many of us just don't know yet. I think that's more fair. The correct way to say it.
Yeah, until it gets to like the deathbed confession or the revelations upon going through a loved one's possessions, and you figure out, oh wow, this my uncle was D.B. Cooper or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or maybe your grandmother shows you a VHS tape and you go, holy crap.
Are you talking about Archive 81 there, Matt?
Kind of, but in a way, one listener's very own Archive 81. Hey, we're all 80s kids. By the way, look, I'm putting this out here. I have COVID. I just found out I have COVID. I feel weird as hell. It's so not great. No, it's okay. We're just recording while we do this. It's just weird.
Just ride the crazy COVID snake of dementia to Valhalla, baby. That's all you can do.
That's what I'm doing, which gets me to 80s kids and that we are. Do you guys remember a weird thing called Photomat?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Wait, I mean, there is the photo mat, which is like, you know, what they used to call the place where you go get photos printed and duplicated. But what is photo mat? Was this like some sort of proto app of some kind?
No, it's the kiosk. Little tiny room. Yeah.
Yes.
They were on the way out, I think, by the time I would remember. But I remember hearing of them and then seeing them in media.
I want to say my grandmother in Ohio is the reason that I remember them, because we would go and visit my family in Ohio, and in the shopping centers, there would be, like you said, Ben, a little kiosk that exists as a hut, kind of just kind of sitting out in the middle of the parking lot that you could drop off your exposed, you know, photos to, or, you know, the actual film. It would get shipped off and processed in a day, and then you could come and pick it up again at the same place. Well, just keep that in mind, that image in mind, as we hear from Graham.
Hey, guys. So I was talking to one of my buddies today, and it reminded me of something that you guys might find very interesting. So when I was a kid, my grandmother called me and asked me to come up to her house. She had something to show me on her VHS player, and she popped in the VHS, and it turned out to be an episode of the TV show America's Most Wanted. So my grandfather was the subject of this show, America's Most Wanted. And it's a very interesting crime tale. His name was Clifford Carroll Graham. He was the founder of an old drive-through photo developing company called Photomat. And then once he developed Photomat, he got into various different business ventures. And he then invented a company called AU Magnetics, which created this almost oil spire-looking thing that you could dump in a bucket of sand, and it would separate all of the precious materials from the bucket of sand. But instead of using the investors' money to invest in the product, him and his business counterparts decided to take all of the money and keep it for themselves. So with that, there were really high-level investors, the Vice President of the United States, and people that were running for Congress, and people that were film executives. And at one point, he owned the largest yacht in the San Diego Harbor, the private yacht in San Diego Harbor. And the dude bought Bing Crosby's mansion. And then the FBI said, "We're on to you." And he disappeared. Nobody from my family has ever seen him ever since. And my grandmother's theory is that he got involved in the world of the mob, the mafia. And instead of giving all of the money to the proper people, he decided to keep it. And the mafia offed him. You guys should go check that out. It's a wildly fascinating tale. Hope to hear from you soon. See ya.
Matt, we should point out also that... Yeah, two things immediately. First, I was always bothered by the idea of photo mats or even the photo processing centers at, you know, your local drugstore, because there are war stories about what people submitted to those things, you know, embarrassing stuff, evidence of horrendous criminal activity. And there was this brief period right before the cloud-enabled smartphones came in where you could take a picture and not have it immediately be observed by someone else somewhere along the way. But with Anonymous here, I think we should say you spoke with this person earlier today, correct?
Yes, Graham is the name that we're going with here. I spoke with Graham earlier today, and I'm going to tell you about that conversation. But first, I want to lay out a couple of things that you heard in that message from Graham. First of all, the name, the full name of the person, Clifford Graham or Clifford Carroll Graham, that's the person who was featured on the America's Most Wanted episode, the grandfather of our caller. That person has a really interesting past, and you can learn a lot about it. There are numerous places online you can go to right now, such as the Los Angeles Times, which has an archived article from 1986 titled "Financier Indicted in Mineral Scheme, Clifford Graham, Missing Since 1985, Charged in $13 Million Gold Operation." There's stuff in Newsweek you can read right now with an article titled "All That Glitters" from 1996. Just all kinds of really interesting stuff that you can read right now if you wish to go check this story out that was described to us. Graham mentions, I think, a vice president of the United States that was caught up in this. I have to make a slight correction there. This person was never holding the office of vice president of the United States, but there was a candidate running for the presidency who was caught up in the whole scheme and was an investor. That person was Jack Kemp, who was running with Bob Dole for the presidency.
Bob Dole.
You guys remember
Bob
those
Dole.
Two names?
I remember Norm McDonald.
That's all I remember, too.
That's all I remember
is Norm McDonald.
Bob Dole. R.I.P. Surely Bob Dole has passed as well, right? He had to. He was already like a 100 back in those days when we remember him.
Bob Dole. Bob Dole did pass away quite recently, December 2021.
No way.
Yeah. Yes way, Ted.
That's right around the time Norm Macdonald died.
I know. It was a real Cloud Atlas moment for them. But also the weirdest thing about that, whenever somebody brings up like a Bob Dole or something for me, is that Henry Kissinger is still alive. That is nothing. It's weird, right? It's weird that he would. Anyway, that's a story for another day. So Matt, you asked Bob Dole. We remember Bob Dole. He was taken in by the scheme.
No, not Bob Dole.
Okay.
He was running for president. His vice presidential candidate, or the person who would have been vice president had he won, was a guy named Jack Kemp.
Yes.
And you can read in that Newsweek article all that glitters about Jack Kemp's he had a friendship apparently with Clifford Graham, as well as many other people. Ben, you mentioned that I talked with Graham, the caller, earlier. Coming out of my brain fog here, Graham mentioned to me other weird connections that this guy, his grandfather, had in Sacramento and San Diego specifically. Do you guys remember Jack LaLanne?
No, but I like
him. Was he a television personality of some kind?
He was a television personality, fitness guru, if you like. He's remembered now as a guy who had a television show. It was one of the first of its kind where he would show you workout techniques while, you know, from your television, and then you at home would work out with him.
I remember his face now.
He's got a show called Beefcake.
Yeah.
And I just love the word Beefcake. Has he been dramatized somewhere, though? I feel like I've seen him in as a character in like a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood-esque thing. Maybe not.
Definitely like one of those guys who would play himself in things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jack LaLanne, like world-renowned guy for fitness and for health and stuff like that. But this dude was friends with Jack LaLanne, and because Clifford, that's his name, he was a bodybuilder around the same time with Jack LaLanne. They became friends down there in San Diego. He was friends with a lot of very important people, and that's how he got around 100 individuals to invest big money in this scheme, this concept of having some kind of coil, basically, that you could use to separate precious minerals from sand particles, like regular old sand particles, or other mining, what would you call it, like post-mining materials?
Just like a centrifuge type thing where it like separates out different, types of material by spinning it around?
Theoretically, but it's not a centrifuge necessarily. I haven't seen the actual device. And that's just a nature of time at this point, probably. Mm-hmm. It was a device that was supposedly developed in the 1980s by this company that Clifford started called AU Magnetics. And you can read about this supposed company that they created. It's like, it reminds me just of one of these companies that gets a lot of early stage funding. Mm-hmm. And then just before it's about to come out, it just collapses in on itself almost. But it's because the technology is too good to be true. It's like a company is developing tech that may possibly do something in the future, but it's nowhere near there yet. And a ton of people get excited about the possibilities of this thing, but that money is not going to go anywhere in the end because it's just not possible yet.
Yeah. Like that. What was it? The blood testing debacle that was recently.
Yes.
Or for anybody who wants a really wild ride, check out, no spoilers, but check out the Dale Carr saga on car stuff. It is, even if you don't like cars, it's you're going to be amazed. But yes, this happens. People get built.
Or the Nikola electric car is the same thing.
It's one of those things where it's like they have maybe a prototype of some kind, or maybe it's not even a real prototype. It's actually just like a working model of some kind, or a scale model. And they're hoping that if they get enough interest, they'll have enough of the funds to actually make the tech real. But it's all kind of blue sky and bullshit, man.
Mm-hmm. It's just a weird tale, and you can dive into it. I think we should for a full episode, just because this kind of thing it's something that happens nowadays. And also, this guy has a really interesting story. Like, the FBI was on his heels at all times, apparently, at least according to Graham. And he carried a gun with him at all times. And he may have had some kind of organized crime connection or activity going on, at least according to his grandmother, our caller's grandmother. He was also really good friends with a group of people who started Gold's Gym. Do you remember Gold's Gym?
Sure. Muscle Beach, baby. He also is the founder of the founding member of the President's Council on Physical Fitness. If you guys remember being forced to do chin-ups, yeah, you know, in elementary school, and Arnold Schwarzenegger yelling at you, that was what that was about. Well, it went all the way back to 1963.
He was also in with big business with Dow Chemical.
Yes. Some family members of Dow Chemical actually put money into this AU magnetics thing.
The Madoff thing. Never, if you're going to execute a grift, you got to be very careful which wealthier ruling class people you swindle, right? Because Bernie Madoff was just ripping off poor people, he would have a couple of islands now. But he went after he went after the people who write the laws. So they got him.
This dude really did buy Bing Crosby's mansion, and he really did own the biggest yacht in San Diego. Just cool. Like, it's true. He just had that kind of money, and something happened, and he ran off with the money, or he disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know? Disappeared. Apparently, our caller's grandmother believes that he escaped to Mexico with the money and lived out his life. It's very unlikely that he is still alive. Our caller's grandmother just celebrated her 90th birthday, and he was quite a bit older, so he would be right around 100 years old today if he were still alive.
So possible, but it would be extraordinary, especially given that the kind of medical care you would need at that age would increasingly raise your chances of popping back up on the radar.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So again, there's a lot here, guys, but I think for today we can kind of leave it at this. If you're interested in more information, look up Clifford, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D, Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, and you will find that stuff. If you want to, I don't know if you can actually get a hold of this episode or not, but America's Most Wanted, Season 7, Episode 2, which first released on January 4th, 1994. We'll have his story. Yeah.
Well, you can find it, I bet. To quote one of my favorite sci-fi movies, you can't stop the signal.
Ah, but the signal from 1994?
It's somewhere. It's out there.
I don't
know.
It's
out there.
My question was it ever digitized and not by somebody with a VHS player? I'm not sure.
I would just say it's such a popular show, though, that it would make sense for someone to digitize it for syndication purposes, no?
Maybe. America's Most Wanted feels like a very, like, time and place kind of thing, you know?
No, dude. I mean, do you really differentiate that much from Unsolved Mysteries? I guess you're right. America's Most Wanted is kind of the television version of, like, the Jail Report, you know? The bigger picture, though, I think that, if they didn't digitize it, I think somebody probably should have lost their job, because I would think there would be a whole network of content to be had out of digitized episodes of America's Most Wanted. Certainly an audience for it.
I'm checking on that, too. I just popped over to a couple of places, and I'm looking to see if it's on some kind of streaming service, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't, just because it had so much attention. So far, just where I'm sniffing around, it's already much easier to find Unsolved Mysteries.
Fox.com allegedly has full episodes.
Allegedly. Okay. I like how you think they might be shady. They're secretly run by Graham.
Right? Here's the thing. They've got like an updated America's Most Wanted show featuring Elizabeth Vargas rather than the America's Most Wanted John I Walsh. Remember. Yeah. Wait, Paul Holes is involved in this too? Oh, boy. Well, I think that's it on this story, guys. Why don't we take a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. And it turns out I have COVID too. So I'm also a little brain foggy today. So I distinctly picked this listener mail because I knew that, Ben, that it would hold a special place in your heart and that it would have plenty for you to banter about so I could just kind of shut up and suffer in silence.
Thanks for doing this show, guys. I know it's rough. Peek behind the curtain. All three of us are under the weather. I did test negative so far, but I probably have something like the flu. We also, off air, when we're talking about this, is how important the show is to us folks. We're pushing through. The show must go on, but we also know, with unfortunately intimate experiential knowledge, that those rapid at-home tests are not 100% accurate. No. What was it you were saying, Noel, off air? You were like, I only trust it if it gives me a positive.
Girlfriend tested, this is the funny thing. My girlfriend, she's very aware of her body. That sounds like some hippie shit. But what I mean to say is she runs very cool in terms of her temperature. And she woke up in the middle of the night and felt like she maybe had a tiny fever, took her temperature, had a temperature. And she never runs a temperature. So this is the next morning. She's like, okay, I have no other symptoms but the fact that I had a 1 degree temperature for 5 minutes. It had gone down at this point. So we got her at home test.
and it was negative. She didn't trust it. We went and got a PCR test. It was positive. I tested negative with my at-home test, but I'm waiting on the PCR test. But I have the same symptoms that Matt has and that some others that I know. Well, you know, here's the thing. It actually feels to me the way it felt when I got my booster shot. So it's a familiar feeling. So I'm positive that I have it. It's brain fog, kind of achiness and like hot and cold. And it's icky, but it's not the end of the world. Obviously, we're here powering through. We do it for you, good people of the conspirosphere. We do it for you.
For the record, my at-home test was like neon pink on that line. Like, it was crazy. Anyway, just...
And thanks to Ben for providing me with the at-home test, along with some Christmas gifts that I had not gotten to get from him yet. An incredible hat that I'm in love with, and a book about dumb birds of North America, which is, I think, probably one of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever received. And by the way, Day, my girlfriend, wanted me to tell you specifically how much she loves it as well.
Oh, awesome. So. It's the one, you know, it's the one book that I thought would be of comfort for you in that kind of genre. And if you read the descriptions, they're amazing.
They're great.
French here, but it's like the common North American pigeon in the first description is this motherfucker. And it like just goes on. It's just roasting birds for the length of the book.
I got to tell you, Ben, it's going in my bathroom, you know, because I want everyone to see it. You got to put your best like coffee table-esque books in the bathroom. So this is like a solid bathroom reader. It's also the perfect size. I've got a little kind of toilet paper shelf kind of closet thing that goes right in front of the toilet. So people will not miss it, Ben. It's going to live there. But thank you dearly. And so, you know, in exchange, I give you the gift of this email. How about that? This email from Melbourne, from our pal Will in Melbourne. He says, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Always listen to you on my road trips down the coast in Victoria, Australia. I just finished your episode. It's out in Secret Museums and wanted to share my experience." By the way, a bunch of awesome feedback from that episode. Oh, yeah. I personally had a ball on that episode. I think we all did. I think it was just, in general, a really fun conversation. Because who doesn't love a good museum? And there's so many freaking weird ones out there. And we found out about tons more. I think we should maybe even do a follow-up and read some other people's suggestions, because there are some great ones. But Will goes on. "In 2012, I actually traveled to North Korea for 8 days. I was there for Kim Il-sung's 100th birthday celebrations, so got to experience some pretty cool things, including the big military parade in person. Our tour also took us to all the main museums, including the Victorious War Museum." Just the names of these are amazing. "The Pyongyang Metro Museum." I'm surprised it's not of excellence or greatness. "And the International Friendship Exhibition, which showcases gifts to Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung from international dignitaries and leaders from around the world. The museums and monuments throughout the country are exactly what you'd imagine. Propaganda all the way. But the propaganda adds to the whole experience of visiting the country. Another incredible thing about North Korea is that they have theme parks and roller coasters everywhere. Never seen so many roller coasters, and we even got to try some out." Ben, does this track?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I 100% believe our fellow conspiracy realist from Melbourne did visit this country and did witness these things, because the 100th birthday celebrations were huge to do, obviously, right? And then also, because this is an Australian national writing to us. So a little bit easier to get in.
That's right.
If you're not a Yankee.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. He said his next story, he talks about studying abroad for his study in international affairs, or rather an international affairs think tank based in Melbourne. So you guys are very much cut from the same international cloth there, Ben. Was there anything else about, like, I know you just went to the DMZ where you say they're really into birds, right? Yes. And there's the DMZ in and of itself is like a mini museum kind of, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because the DMZ is off limits to the vast majority of humanity. Obviously, it's kind of like a nature preserve in some ways. You will also see so many relics of the days before the armistice, right? Because the two countries are still technically at war. The thing about theme parks and roller coasters is also a really good point, and you don't hear you don't hear like the Western media report a lot of that stuff. I would be very interested to hear about the food. I don't know why that's always one of my first questions is the food. But yeah, you'll also see on both sides of the border, you'll see like tourist industry things that you buy, right? Like I was surprised by the preponderance of gift shops on the South Korean side of the border, right? Who doesn't love a good gift shop? I don't know if we mentioned that in our secret museums episodes, but I walked away thinking, because I just re-listened to that, and I too enjoyed the conversation. I walked away thinking, why didn't we talk about the gift shops? Like, does the CIA museum have a gift shop? What can you buy there? That would be so cool.
We need to find out. I want to go and buy things from there.
Right. Can you get like Jack the Ripper's murder weapon from the Black Museum over there in the UK? I doubt it, but they might sell a replica. I don't know. So the coolest thing here so far, I don't know what you guys think about this, but have you seen pictures of the Friendship Museum? It's worth a look just because it's all, like you said, Noel, it is all tokens of appreciation that have been given to the leaders of North Korea. And it's got some pretty baller stuff in there. It's huge too.
Are there any mummified animals perchance? Just wondering.
Oh, that's
asking for a friend.
That's a good question. I'm not sure what their weirdest or most unique things would have been. North Korea was formed well after the European mummy fad or mummy craze when they were, you know, dissecting mummies and when they were burning them for cordwood and destroying ancient history for kicks. So they wouldn't have been around to get a mummy at that time, but I could absolutely see it being a gift that a foreign dignitary would want to give somebody. But they have something like mammals, right? I think there's a weird thing apparently with dictators and taxidermy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Allegedly Fidel Castro gave him, I think, a crocodile briefcase. So like crocodile skin for realsies.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty posh.
That is posh. And then you can sort of, what's interesting about those museums is you can learn a lot about the relationship between two countries based on the gifts, like a very big, prestigious, unique, distinctive gift is probably going to come from a communist country, right? At the time, because DPRK still describes itself as practicing Juche. Juche, by the way, just basically means subject. It's the ideology breaks down quickly. That's what I'm saying. But then if you see somebody who maybe doesn't have either the wherewithal or the budget to send something, or they don't have the inclination to send something very big and impressive, you'll see different associations sending more modest gifts. Like the chairman of the Journalist Association of Kuwait sent a set of pens, which is nice. You know what I mean? But obviously he was like, we can't kill a crocodile for this guy.
But you know what the Sandinistas did? Of Nicaraguan fame. They allegedly, again, according to Atlas Obscura, handed over an upright, grinning alligator who was holding out a wooden tray of cocktail glasses.
Finally. Said that
that's fun. That's festive.
That sounds like a New Orleans like dive bar like joke.
Oh, it does. It would be at the Star Bar here or something. Yeah. Or House on the Rock.
Yeah.
There's one fascinating point that we should make. And I'm frankly, Noel, I'm super excited about the second part of this letter too. But there's one fascinating point we should make, which is that while these may seem uninteresting to people who are more aware of the wider world, or people who can go on the internet and look at any number of crocodile skin briefcases and what have you, we have to remember that when we talked about the demographic, the intended audience of a museum, the intended audience of the Friendship Museum, I would argue, is not outsiders. The intended audience is the people of the DPRK. And in that museum, they're going to see a lot of stuff that they would not normally see, right? It's like when you go to any new place, especially if you go to a foreign country, you're going to be amazed by stuff that people have just quickly normalized and accepted. You know what I mean? Like, I've clearly looked like an idiot so many times in so many places. because I'm just baffled. You know, I'm like, do we really need guards with semi-autos at this McDonald's? Or like, what don't vending machines sell in Japan? The little things can amaze you. So a lot of times when DPRK nationals are visiting this museum, we have to understand that they're seeing stuff they have never seen before unless they've been to that museum before, which is, I don't know, profound.
Agreed. We'll go through the second part of the email now real quick. He goes on, Will, that is, in 2017, I was lucky enough to visit the Foreign Museum of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Tehran as part of a study tour with an international affairs think tank based in Melbourne, Australia. We were actually sponsored by the Iranian government. And as part of the tour, our group met with members of Iran's foreign ministry, and they took us on a tour of the ministry building, including the museum underneath it. It includes all sorts of items like scripts from the Qajar era, portraits of foreign ministers dating back hundreds of years, and documents stolen from the old U.S. embassy when it was raided during the revolution back in 1979. No tourists entering Iran get access to this museum unless they're invited by the foreign ministry, so we were pretty lucky to visit it. Just wanted to share my experience with you because there probably aren't too many people who have shared this experience. Once again, love the podcast and looking forward to many more awesome episodes too. Cheers, Will from Melbourne. I would agree. I think that, Ben, it seems like you confirm that this was a very, very special, unique experience that our boy Will had.
Yeah. You guys know this. We know each other pretty well this far into the game. Iran is one of those countries that's on my dream list, especially the ancient parts of Tehran. It's just the Persian Empire played such a huge role in the development of what we call civilization today. And it's a shame. Like I, like many other people in the audience today, right? I know folks who live in Iran now. I've never met them in person, I've met a few in person. But then they had to travel back. And it's really difficult if you are Iranian American. It's really difficult for you to travel from the U.S. to Iran and back because the government may detain you. It's tough to get in, especially as an American. Maybe the only other country that would have a tougher time would be Israel. So it's the odds against us seeing this museum are very, very high. And Will, I don't know if it's, obviously that's quite a coup, although coup would be a poor choice of words when we're talking about Iran, wouldn't it? It's an awesome achievement that you got to see that. There's so much history there. I want to go, you know, as Liz Lemon, played by Tina Fey, always says, I want to go to there. I mean, have you guys ever wanted to go to Iran? Have you read much about its ancient history or its food?
Well, I do love the cuisine for sure. And I mean, obviously it's, you know, the cradle of civilization. I mean, there's no reason anybody that's fascinated by history and culture wouldn't want to go there other than the aforementioned, complexities of coming and going from that country. But yeah, I would absolutely be on board to check it out if I knew that I was going to be able to get in and out safely.
I think for someone from the U.S., you would have to travel in a group, and you would probably have to have a government minder with you if you were doing it legit. I don't know how helpful this will be for our Australian listeners, but if you are in the U.S., one of the first things you do when you're thinking about traveling somewhere is to check the Department of State. They'll have travel warnings. They'll have heads up. And the reason you want to read those travel warnings is, yes, read what they say, but also read between the lines of what they're saying. there's a lot of stuff that goes into play here. Like right now, let's say you want to go to this museum in Iran. As Will said, you know, parts of the museum are restricted. They're by invitation only. Other museums in Iran are open to the public, you know, like the National Museum and so on. But if you're from the U.S., here's what the Department of State says about traveling to Iran. They warn against all kinds of travel that cross borders or boundaries between Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq. Because of mass detention of citizens in those countries, the probability of terrorist attacks, and then they say due to the increasing tensions between the U.S. and Iran, it's possible that a conflict could break out. And they don't put an expiration date on that. So if you would like to plan to travel to Iran and its borders, Just please be careful, as you could get trapped. The U.S. does not have, you know, a strong diplomatic presence in Iran, which is a shame because the, you know, I know I'm self-selecting here, you guys, but everyone I've talked to has been really, like, really cool. The people of Iran often are making a very sharp, conscious distinction between the citizens of a government they don't like and the government itself. So don't ever fall for that kind of bellicose saber rattling when you see some pundit on U.S. television saying, like, Iran is rising. You know, they hate the U.S. The government of Iran definitely doesn't like the government of the U.S., but I'm pretty confident that if you got like the director of the Smithsonian to hang out with the director of this cool kind of secret museum in the Foreign Policy Building, I'm sure they'd get along famously. You know what I mean?
For sure.
How do we get an invite? How do we, Will, pull some strings, man. Get us into Iran. We'll send you a t-shirt.
Yeah, you should totally let Ben
come
in.
Come on. Will,
let Ben in.
Matt, you don't want to go?
No, I'm good.
Noel, are you and I going on a buddy road trip to Iran?
Yeah, man, let me just get over this plague and then I'll be right there.
Yeah.
I might feel different next week. We'll see.
This letter says, you know, Slayer says that you wanted to share your experience with your fellow listeners, Will, because you said there probably aren't too many people who have had these experiences. And you're absolutely right. And in both of those cases, the reason that people from at least our country can't in general go is because of ratcheting geopolitical tensions. That's it. You know, you go to North Korea and the wrong stuff happens, then that has nothing to do with you. And you might become a bargaining chip, even if you're doing everything right. You know, they might just say, hey, we're going to hold Matt Frederick in Tehran until we finish this nuclear talk. And we're going to hold Noel Brown in Pyongyang until, you know, we get this aid package worked out.
I'll be your bargaining chip.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I've got no State Department ties, so I think I should be good.
You say that. Yeah. Yep. Yep. But this is like one other thing you point out, Noel, that I really like about this is that this is one excellent example of the many museums people have told us about and reached out to find us on email or personal or show social, which is trickier to say than I thought it would be, or have called us directly. So keep them coming because we are, you know, this is one of those things where we might assemble a list of the best museums we've heard of and just make a listener mail segment that's entirely that. What do you guys think? I mean, we're getting that level of feedback here.
Yes, the museum recommendations show. We're going to
call it a night at the museum.
There we go. Yeah.
Like the movie for children.
And the sequel.
With King Tut.
And
Are there more than two?
There's,
I feel like there's a whole night at the museum universe.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll probably eventually be an amusement park if it isn't. Yeah. What's that? Ben Stiller, Teddy Roosevelt, played by Robin Williams.
Ah, yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Ben Stiller, unfortunately, is still with us.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. He's great.
Yeah.
I just think his best work is behind him.
Apparently, he's super, super good at ping pong. He was in Atlanta for a while filming something and was at some local ping pong place. Just amazing people.
He strikes me as being a really competitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is? Yeah. It's the way he plays himself on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is obviously he's taking the piss out of himself on purpose, but he plays himself like a total jackass. So any negative thoughts I have about Ben Stiller are based on his own dramatization of himself as being a Hollywood jerk. So I take back everything I said. Good on you.
Thank
for
you,
being, having a sense of humor, Ben Stiller, to be able to poke fun at yourself.
Go
like
Ben's.
That.
See, I was, yeah, go Ben's all day because I was going to point back to his appearance on the show Extras, where he plays like that amped, crazy version of himself.
Yeah, he's weirdly directing a movie about genocide, and the guy's like, my Coke is not cold. can we get this guy cold Coke in it? But he's like clearly super annoyed, like, this is not my problem. But this is the guy who's like their kind of consultant on this like Armenian genocide film or whatever. I forget exactly which genocide.
Great.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Okay, enough of these shenanigans. Let's take a quick pause, and then we'll come back with a different flavor of shenanigans from you,
the listener, after a quick word from our sponsor.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we have returned. We're heading back to the phone lines for an interesting conversation. This is going to be somewhat informal, but I think it's an experience that everyone will be familiar with if you have in any way at any time participated in the social media platform Facebook and its subsidiaries, Instagram, and probably later this thing they're calling the metaverse. Check out our episode on that, by the way. That was a fun one. All right. So without further ado, let's hear from Anonymous.
Hey, guys. Long time-ish listener. First time caller. I just started listening to you guys again after I picked up my old/new job again. And so I'm listening to podcasts more often, and I've been listening to you guys, and there's something that I don't think you've covered this exact niche of something that's happened to me personally. Look, we all know that our phones listen to us and sometimes watch us with our cameras and whatnot, but have you ever heard of someone being like, I was just thinking about X product? And then literally 5 minutes later, they see ads for the specific product, like on Instagram or Facebook. That has happened to me a few years ago. I was thinking about this small company called Mayday Designs, I believe. And they make notebooks and stationery and stuff. And it's a small company. It's all online. And I was just thinking while cleaning my room, oh, I should see if I need new notebooks because I think I'm almost filled. My phone was on the table in the kitchen downstairs, and I was upstairs in my bedroom while I was thinking about that. And I realized my phone wasn't with me, so I went down to grab it, and I'm like just scrolling through Instagram, the usual, and then bam, there's an ad for that specific company with the exact notebooks that I had. And I hadn't bought anything in a year, and I haven't looked about their Instagram account or anything like that. Like, just thinking about that notebook, and then all of a sudden I get that ad. I don't know. It really freaked me out. And I've told other people about this, like, over the years, this exact story. And I've had people say, wow, that's weird. I was thinking about how I wanted to, for example, I don't remember the exact restaurant, but for example, they were like, I wanted to go to Arby's, but there really isn't Arby's around. Or I know I shouldn't eat out as much. And then the next thing that they knew, they're scrolling through Facebook and there's an ad for Arby's. They didn't say anything out loud. They didn't look up on the internet. They were just thinking about it while in their car on their drive home from work. And then bam, ad for Arby's. So have any of you guys experienced that or know someone who has? Because it really freaks me out. And I'd like to know what you guys think. If I'm just connecting the dots because our brains are kind of like, you know, wired to do that, like making connections and stuff. But it happens not often enough for it to be a coincidence. And yet it's happened to enough people that I feel like there's something else going on. And it freaks me out. Let me know what you guys think. Love the show. Looking forward to hearing back from you. Okay, bye.
Well.
I mean, we talk about this all the time.
Yeah, this is one of those things that you'll always see think pieces on and they come out and say, no, Facebook is not monitoring you that way, the way you think. It's not listening to you, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll be honest with you. I don't buy it at this point because I know exactly what Anonymous has experienced. Has something like this happened with you guys?
Dude, we were just talking about it recently. I think it was on the show about the Ridiculous History shirt, yes. Like with mm-hmm. with young Casey Pegram mm-hmm. as a child. And you were on a call, I think, with some other folks about the thing. And I was not on this call. But you told us after the fact that it came up about the shirt. And then abracadabra, all of a sudden you get served the ad, not only for Ridiculous History shirts, but for that shirt. Mm-hmm. And all of this, I just think it's so obvious. It bothers me that they just keep vehemently denying it because I just think it has to be true. It has to be true. I've seen it so many times. Yeah.
Friends, family, we've experienced it. You know, that's why a lot of people use proxies, ad blockers, or just get off Facebook altogether. Matt, back when you were a little more active on social media, did you see it ever run into stuff like this? I know we talked about it at length over the years.
No, most of what I saw was an aggregate of things I had been searching for and things that were on my calendars, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, well,
your calendar is tied into your Outlook, you know, it's sort of par for, it's fair game, I would say, if you've granted access to
this was when it was all Google,
right?
Several years back, everything was Google. And everything I did, everywhere I went, everyone I communicated with was essentially Google, unless it was done, you know, for work. And I would just notice that stuff would get served to me when I was either on a social media, you know, app, or if I was just browsing and I was using Chrome. It just seemed like there was weird connections, but I couldn't prove any of that. Anyway, I've got more to say, but let's continue the conversation. I'll tell you my theory.
Okay. Because I think everybody does have a theory here.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, Matt, you're referring to something that we do know to be a thing, you know, confirmed. I mean, Google, you know, uses keywords inside of your emails and in your calendar and stuff, and then serves you those little ads in the margins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does that. And Google is a whole thing, right?
It's also Alphabet. Yeah.
Yeah. Alphabet is a thing.
It's building predictive analytics. And this mm-hmm. this is where I think we approach this from two fronts, Anonymous, and everybody's experienced a weird algorithmic ad before. The first front, we'll play skeptic. We'll put on a skeptic's hat, right? And we'll use some of those arguments that have been made by more skeptical folks writing those think pieces I mentioned. And then secondly, we'll talk about something plausible and a little more scary. So first, something that's going to be familiar to the skeptics in the crowd, the idea of Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. You've heard a word for the first time. You've heard a word like Saturnine or something. And then you learn about that word and you have that the more you know vibe going on. And you think, oh, that's cool. Now I know a fancy way to say gloomy, basically.
Right.
Languid and gloomy.
Crestfallen.
Right. Right. And then, and then later that week, that day, or whatever the interval of time is, you feel like everybody must have learned this word at the same time as you, because you'll be damned if you haven't heard Saturnine more times this week than you have heard in the entirety of your life. You know what I mean? But how much of that is an external factor and how much of that is the magnificent and hugely imperfect human brain saying, I still think we're out in the wild, hunting, gathering, foraging, trying not to be eaten. So I am going to recognize patterns, right? And if anything comes up, I'm gonna obsessively, subconsciously build a pattern out of that. That's what happens with things like, let's say you're thinking you're going to buy a different car one day. Not to lean too much into the auto stuff, but you're thinking, I'm going to, you know, I think I might buy it. Just name a car. What's a random car?
Peugeot.
Honda Odyssey.
I'm going to buy a Peugeot Honda Odyssey. It's made by Honda and Peugeot. It is both infinitely annoying on the road, and it's very small.
It's a hybrid.
So yeah. Bader-Meinhof, what you were experiencing then is you're like, I want this hilarious Peugeot Honda Odyssey hybrid. And then you start seeing them everywhere on the road. And you start thinking, wow, these vehicles are really popular, despite the fact that they're a terrible idea. They're really, really popular. That may make you more likely to buy one. But what's happening instead, again, this phenomenon argues, is that your brain is just prioritizing those and bringing them to your attention. So you might be passing hundreds of Honda Civics, which for a long time was the most common car in the US, but you're not noticing those because that's not your vibe. You want your weird microcar van or whatever. And this could be something at play here. That's a skeptical argument. It could be that you just noticed an ad because you were already thinking of this thing. However, I don't think that gets us to an explanation. I think there's some problems with it.
Yeah, I reject that. I know what that is. I know what that feels like. And I think we all do. And I think we've all kind of learned to recognize that for the most part for what it is. But the thing with the, and again, just to be clear, we're talking about verbal things that are said verbally, right? Just to make sure we're.
Well, in this case, no. Our caller is saying she thought about something that she wanted.
And then saw it.
And okay. Then it occurred.
Okay. But then I would argue, I'm not trying to, you know, impart intention on our caller, but I mean, I would argue that if you thought about something, chances are you searched for it a little bit.
Exactly.
We're getting to my theory.
Adjacent to
it.
Adjacent.
Really?
Okay. No.
Adjacent. Okay. It doesn't even have to be the exact thing. It's just a flavor of it. And then the algorithm's gotten so good that it extrapolates it to the thing you actually want.
That's
the other. I'm just going to give you this one, which is just my theory, and I think it's a little different from yours. I don't want to take wind out of your sails. I think we get served so many ads so often, especially if we're on a social media feed. If you think about something like Instagram, where you're just scrolling through, looking at posts, even if it's reels, it doesn't matter, anything like that. You are getting served ads generally one out of every three things that you look at. I think that's about a correct, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. I think we are exposed to so many of those as we're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling that we don't even, they don't register in our even short-term memory. They just fling past us. But maybe enough of our subconscious, or, you know, that part of us that just, again, that the part that needs us to stay alive and has done that since we've been evolving, a little piece of that grabs this, you know, maybe let's say 10% of that ad that flew past our eyes. And if that's occurring, I don't know, I'm losing my train of thought. COVID brain. But I do think that you could be served an ad. You're being served ads for certain things because of what the algorithms think you want. And maybe our caller is somebody who has in the past purchased these, what was it called? Mayday designs, something Mayday designs. Something like that has been in her past. She's purchased, she's made a purchase before. They've been advertising to her because it's around the time that she should be buying some more. And she recently saw one and just doesn't even register that she saw an ad recently.
Remind me the thing in her message that made it so incredibly remarkable. What's the detail that I'm kind of forgetting?
She just had a thought in the moment. Her phone was physically away from her in another part of her domicile, and she had not spoken to someone else around their phone about this. So typically the conspiracy theory is that the phones are listening, right? And then making ads based on conversation. I've tried some of that. There's gotta be more to it than that though, because I was trying to get ads for really, really expensive things. So I would literally, you know, sit with my phone and just whisper like, I want to buy a yacht or a trips to Monaco and just, you know, the most obnoxiously wealthy stuff I could imagine, like get young blood, stuff like that. Shout out to our blood episode on Modern Vampires. But there is some sand to this because no sales to take the wind out of here, except maybe this theory from Facebook's part. What most people don't know, and what I would say most people can't access, would be the level of information that exists about your habits, you know, the depth of the persona that has been built around you. Matt, you said something really interesting with the idea of a time interval. Is it time for Anonymous to buy from this company again, right? Or is it time for us to enter in a new pitch, right? Like, we've got travel records, either through third-party purchases like airline tickets, right? Maybe records of gas purchases that you've made in a road trip or something like that. And then maybe you have established a pattern that you drive up to Kalamazoo or whatever every year around Christmas time. Sure. You might get ads for that because you are becoming there. Your patterns are becoming predictable. And this is not illegal. This is not saying that Facebook is evil because of that. They're buying this from third-party brokers. A lot of the TOS, terms of service people sign, explicitly allow for that secondary stream of income to form.
Well, no, I mean, you could argue it's exactly what the system is meant, how the system is meant to evolve. I mean, it's not only is it not illegal, it's efficient. They're fine-tuning the system to serve you more relevant ads. I think the advertisers and the advertising industry and the people that are, you know, responsible for the code that is creating these algorithms that are, like, you know, more accurately serving up ads, they all know that stupid conundrum where you buy the thing and then all of a sudden get inundated with ads for the thing. They're aware of that and they're trying to do something about it. And this is what they're doing. And I would argue that over time, it's just going to get more and more subconscious. You know what Absolutely. I mean? Where they're going to be able to assemble pieces of a psychological profile and then tell you what you want before you even know you want it. Maybe the moment you want it, based on what you were just looking at 5 seconds before, that then is the last piece of the puzzle and then click. There you go. You get the thing. And you could argue that that's great, that we want that. Sure. Or you could argue that it's dystopian and terrifying, or it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, it's definitely playing fast and loose with the concept of consent. You could say that these companies are getting consent from their end users, or, you know, their end users are the product here, but they're not getting informed consent because they are not aware of the capabilities that this technology bestows. I want to end on, like, I love exploring this, going to explore it more, but I'd like to take the theory that Matt and I were cooking up and take it one step further. And this is the part that might freak you out a little bit, Anonymous, along with any of our other fellow listeners who have experienced something like this. What if that advertisement was not somehow reading your mind or predicting a time interval? What if the thought that you had was created in some way by a similar algorithm? And this, before this sounds too sci-fi and woo-woo, I'm not saying that there's a bunch of, like, Minority Report-esque sensory deprivation tanks where people are like, make this person think of stationery and pens. What I'm saying is, perhaps the best way to explain it is through example. We're going to have an upcoming episode about how memories can be altered. And in hand with this, or tentacle and tentacle with this, is the idea that thoughts can be planted in your mind without your consent and without your knowledge and with a great, I would say, terrifying level of sophistication. The best example of this, before we get to that episode, is to check out clips from a show called Mind Control, done by the mentalist Darren Brown.
Love him so much.
Yeah, he's great. I think I'd like to have him on the show one day if you guys are interested.
I will not be on that episode. I wouldn't be able to handle it. Would not be able to handle it.
He'll probably get into our heads and listeners as well. But here's what he does. This is a bit of a spoiler alert, but I think people will still enjoy watching the process because it could apply to the theory we're cooking up about Facebook. In this clip from this show, there's a thing called Animal Heaven, and Darren Brown has invited two willing volunteers from an ad agency hotshots. Picture like modern Mad Men, kind of. He's invited these folks to help him create a logo and a catchphrase for a pet crematorium, which, you know, sounds like something you would need some professional help with, because pet crematoriums are not something a lot of people like to think about unless they have to. So he invites them in and he says, okay, I'm giving you a limited amount of time just to, you know, meet me in this office. You'll have a limited amount of time to give me a logo, give me a tagline, that kind of thing. So he lets them have their limited amount of time. And then he says, okay, what'd you come up with? They show him what they came up with that they just made up themselves in the collaboration. And then there's a moment where he verifies that, like, days before they came on the scene, he had his own idea, and it's the exact same idea. So how did he transmit that to their mind? How did they confuse someone else's thoughts or cognitive commands with their own creative process? The answer is fascinating and terrifying, because it's not as difficult as you think. And in that one, he explains a little bit about what's going on. I don't know. Should we spoil it? Should we tell them what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should. Just some people may not be able to access that at this moment.
That's a good point.
But yeah. It really is creepy. If you can control what people see, and, you know, this is kind of what goes back to the thing I was talking about. If you can put something in front of someone's eyes, you can get them to think something, even if it just happens in a flash and you don't even really notice it, but it goes past your eyes or it goes past your ears. It's in your head, I promise.
Yeah, exactly. So let's break down what happens here. So we mentioned that these ad executives, they don't know what they're going to be working on until Darren announces it to them, but they are on a ride in someone else's car from a meeting point to the office. And on that ride is really where the magic starts to occur. If you play it back, which they do at the end of the program, if you play it back, you'll see that everything these guys are passing in their car ride is subtly reinforcing the same imagery, the same symbolism, the same phrases or logos. So they have been unknowingly sort of irradiated with this information. And I don't think irradiated is an unfair word here. They have been irradiated with this information such that it is in the front of their mind, even if they don't know what's happening. This is a powerful thing. This is also part of how you can change people's memories without them recognizing what's happening, and of course, without their consent. And that may be what's happening here. It feels like a lot of work, because frankly, Darren Brown was doing this with a huge budget for a show. He had a team of very smart people helping him. It was analog. Everything was carefully controlled. But it is possible. It is possible to plant thoughts in people's minds, because the truth of the matter is, on any given day, most folks do not clock the majority of what they observe, you know, subconsciously.
Well, if we learned anything from Edward Bernays, that the linchpin of advertising or modern advertising is psychology and psychological manipulation.
Yeah.
So why should it be not more advanced at this stage in the game?
Exactly. What do you think, Matt? What's on your mind? Also, shout out to Meadow.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Meadow. Meadow is really giving me a hard time right now. She wants to go out.
Meadow Soprano.
Yep. It takes me back to something you mentioned that you Darren Browned in my head, Ben, accidentally, perhaps. Aziz Ansari's most recent stand-up special. He just makes a really great point about social media and phones in general and just our activities. It's a very heartfelt special, by the way. He does it at the Comedy Cellar, which is the first place he ever did stand up.
Just very, shows very, up as a surprise. Good. Yeah.
But man, I would recommend people watch that. Think about that. It makes me think about this whole conversation, makes me remember why I got rid of social media. And it also is making me lament the fact that I still have Instagram on my phone for work purposes, and I find myself scrolling on that stinking thing all the time, and I just want to burn it.
See, I hear you. I love Instagram. I've curated it in a way that really serves my needs, and I really like what I get from it. I feel like I'm getting exactly what I want out of it for the most part, and don't find it to be a suck on my life, maybe in the way that it is for some. Certainly, I could spend less time on it, but I really, really enjoy it, and I feel like I get value out of it in terms of learning about new artists, and I really like memes and resharing stuff and all of that. I have good interactions with listeners, and I'm a fan, but I understand that for some, it can be a real toxic force. But for me, I'm okay with it. And I also feel like I've made no bones about the fact that, like, I know this stuff is going on. I just don't care that much. Like, I use the Facebook login to link to, like, other things like ticket websites so I can share that I've got tickets. I know that gives them a direct siphon into my data. I don't really care. Like, how is it affecting me in a negative way that they know my spending habits? Like, I understand that it's sort of the principle of the thing for some people where it's like, well, I don't want to, you know, give the man an advantage or whatever. But to me, it's like, I just don't care. And like, if anything, if it makes the internet less annoying for me, then so be it.
I just shared a screenshot.
Yeah, I know you did. And I know who this guy is. He's a creepy dude.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Maybe I'm being myopic about it, not thinking big picture.
Well, it's also, it's evolving at a breakneck pace. And just because this is often an audio show for now, the picture that you shared, Matt, is Mark Zuckerberg having like a religious moment or a quiet orgasm.
He was announcing the metaverse.
Okay,
he just gobbled down a tablespoon of Sweet Baby Ray's.
Screen caps are weird, so maybe I'm reading too much. But yes, you can be guided, and it doesn't mean that you are not intelligent. It doesn't mean that you are somehow less than. It just means that a lot of people are making a lot of money by getting closer and closer to being able to say, Hey, Illumination Global Unlimited, give us $20 million and we guarantee you that we can get X amount of people to buy your new shoe feet or whatever. And shoe feet is a brilliant design where it's like they look like you're barefoot, but you actually have shoes on.
But really nice bare feet, not like yours.
Well, you're not referring specifically. Ben has impeccably plucked feet. There, yeah.
I can
You have them treated. I've seen them. They have a glow to them. Shoe feet, you know, but shoe feet is they're fine because it's like I've always really had a problem with those toe shoes, but shoe feet's something else, and I'm okay with shoe feet. But we benefit from advertising, and we benefit from things like what's called lookalike audiences. Like that is a concept where you take data and create like a simulation of an audience that you want to serve. And in order to do that, you have to have data. So I don't know. I can't be too mad at it, but I bow to the sneakiness of it all in a lot of ways. I kind of respect the hustle. But also, like, you know, you say that there's Ben, you mentioned that you think that this is not informed consent. But I mean, you know, it's the choice we make not to read those updated terms of service. I have a feeling that although they update them, they're updating it with this kind of stuff. Yeah, telling people, you the new ways and all the new ways that they're taking your stuff and doing stuff with it. But it's a personal choice not to read those every time a new one comes up.
That's true. That's true. And these things can seem like relatively academic observations so long as they remain conversations about opt-in systems that are not mandates. And my question is, how far away are we from that? This conversation is taking us in a lot of different directions. It is food for thought. You can see Matt Knoll and yours truly are on varying levels of a spectrum in terms of our interaction with this brave new Promethean fire of ubiquitous, always on communication that is steered without your knowledge. But we want to hear your thoughts. Take a page from our fellow conspiracy realists here. Thanks to everyone who reached out to us. We can't wait to hear what your take is on traveling to Tehran. Just going to pick that one out. What your take is on mysterious pasts of your relatives. And then, of course, what your take is on the idea that your thoughts might be guided by forces you don't consciously recognize. I think to me that is a scary point, because we often like to think of our minds as sort of the last sanctum. You know what I mean? Like the last thing people can't get into is going to be your air-walled thoughts. And you can think whatever you want and no one knows except for you. But that may not be as much the case as you think it is. So we're asking for consent. We would love if you would let us know your thoughts instead of us trying to create them in your head. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on the internet. We are on Instagram at Conspiracy Stuff Show. Everywhere else, we are just Conspiracy Stuff. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. And that is, of course, YouTube, where you can find daily video content for your personal enjoyment and perusal. And I think we're going to be seeing some cool new stuff in the very near future popping up in one or all of these places. You can also, if you prefer to stay off of the internet and use something a little more analog, you can give us a telephone call, 1-833-STD-WYTK.
That's right. When you call in, leave yourself a cool nickname, amuse yourself or us. We like it in both ways. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. We do ask that you please tell us we have permission to use your name and voice. If not, tell us you don't have permission to do that because you want to remain anonymous or you don't want your voice to be heard. Just give us those details. We would really appreciate it. If you've got more to say, then you can fit into that 3 minutes. Instead, why not send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.